Welcome in to an episode of Light the Lamp. I'm your host, Alexis Downey, and man, does it feel full circle to have the guest that I do in studio with me today. A host for Daily Faceoff covering the New York Rangers, but also my good friend, Johnny Lazarus. Johnny, welcome to the Paul Kurrias studio. Great to have you.
It is an honor to be here. What's it been, 5 years? Probably. 5 years since we've known each other, and I was talking to you about hockey out of my mom's bedroom. I think you were in your kitchen in Chicago when we both tried to break into this industry, and to be sitting here now with you before a Rangers Ducks game tonight, it's very cool. And I don't want that to like just get brushed over. So it is really cool to be here sitting with you, Alexis.
I feel like we've kind of grown up together in this industry and to be here now doing this show together. It's finally nice to do a show in person together too.
It's kind of like the look at us, like the Paul Rudd moment. That's kind of what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Well, to give our listeners a little bit of a background, Johnny and I used to do a podcast together covering the Rangers and covering the NHL. Mm-hmm. And it was back during kind of COVID times.
Yeah, like peak COVID.
Yeah. So that is why we were not in person ever. And we've only met a few times in person as well.
I think this is probably like our third time, maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's go back. And for those listening, just give them a better idea about what you do and working with Daily Faceoff now. This is your first season with Daily Faceoff. And you get So you get to, you have your morning podcast. I know it's a little tough to wake up on the West Coast for the East Coast time. But talk a little bit about what you've been doing this season and all your coverage.
Yeah. So we don't talk a lot of Ducks, admittedly. We should do more, but it is, you know, it's mostly an East Coast show, 9 a.m. Eastern every day, Monday to Thursday. And honestly, the idea stemmed from me being a huge Knicks fan growing up and obviously a huge Rangers fan. Like, hockey's my number one sport. I played in college and that's like how I broke into the industry. But waking up every day and like wanting to hear fresh hockey talk, it was really just reruns of the NHL Network from the night before. And I'd catch myself listening to Get Up or First Take with Greenberg, Stephen A, and all these personalities. And I was like, wow, we need that in hockey. And over the past couple of years, YouTube has become such a big presence in the hockey world and in sports world in general. Like, Pat McAfee doing his show was a big inspiration of where the idea came from. And I said to Colby Cohen one morning, I was like, hey, I have this idea. I'd love to do a live NHL like morning show. We can have that live chat function. People can wake up if they're working from home. They can chime in. If they're, you know, doing their house errands, they can listen. And now we're like a year and a half into it, or a little bit more than a year into it. And it's been unbelievable. We've had Frank Petrano and some Ducks players on, which has been really cool. But yeah, to wake up every morning and just get to talk hockey with, you know, so many different people across the league has been a dream come true.
I was going to say, you've had a lot of different guests on there, but talking to Frank, I know you got to catch up with him this morning. Yeah. What did you UMass guys talk about? You know, what's that relationship like now?
So Frank Petrano, I think this is appropriate to tell.
Yeah, go ahead.
He would have been a senior my freshman year at UMass, but he signed his pro contract. So he was playing in Boston right down the road, like, you know, an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. And he'd come back and visit, you know, his classmates all the time. And at my first like UMass tailgate, like, Frankie handed me a beer and was like, shotgun a beer. And I texted my dad. I was like, Dad, you'll never believe this. Like, I just shotgunned a beer at Frank Petrano. And my dad goes, who's that? So I did tell Frankie that story, I think. And my dad laughs about it now, but, my dad didn't know the UMass hockey history at the time. Obviously, going into school that year, I had watched Frankie and Connor Sheary and Justin Braun, cause the Penguins played the Sharks in the Stanley Cup final that year before my freshman year. So it was, you know, very, popular at the time. Since then, like, when I started working in the NHL, I've just kept in touch with Frankie. He's always been like the nicest guy to me. I'll never forget, like, just walking around the tunnel at MSG, he saw my face and like dapped me up. And I was like, you remember me? You know, he's the best guy. And, you know, seeing him with the stitches this morning and his lip like hanging down below his bottom lip, and he still has the fattest smile because UMass won last night, was pretty cool.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the college hockey, just a little bit. But some of the other guests that you've had on your show, do you have a favorite from this year or any good stories?
Oh man. We have a lot of recurring guests, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what we wanted to build out. Like, when a team is trending from the night before, like, we know our person is going to come on the next morning to talk about it, you know? But favorite guest, I mean, there's always a ton. We actually recently had Matt Molson on, who is actually brother-in-laws with Jonathan Quick, which is really cool. And I played against their younger brother-in-law, Brett. He's a 96 birth year from Connecticut. But I've never met Matt Molson, never talked to him before. I just shot him a text like, hey, we'd love to have you on. He answered within like 3 minutes, which usually doesn't happen.
Yep. For those listening, that's not always the case.
Not always the case. And he couldn't have been nicer. And I feel like we just became fast friends. And honestly, that's the best part of it all. And you feel it too. I saw you interact with the players. Like when you have them on your show and you just click right away, they treat you like you're one of their own. And I think that's how, for the most part, most people that come on our show end up treating me. Like this is kind of funny. James Van Riemsdyk is best friends with my co-host Colby Cohen, because they, you know, grew up together like in the same region of playing youth hockey. And I was wasted Saturday at a bachelor party in Vegas, and I got a DM from James Van Riemsdyk. And I was like, is this real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he's someone I grew up like idolizing. So, so to have that, I was like, what's happening right now?
You know?
You have the pinch me moment still, right? Like
100%.
It never gets old.
No, it doesn't. And talking about, you know, just the way this industry is, I mean, going from playing to now covering it, was that always what you envisioned for yourself?
I always knew I wanted to work in the NHL once I realized I would never play in it. And I don't know if I like envisioned what I'm doing now for myself, but I always loved interviewing athletes. And that started, I think, in college. Like my junior year, I was doing a talk show called The Laker Effect with my friend on the volleyball team, Leah Kern. And we would just go around interviewing different student athletes across different teams on campus. And it was funny. Like we would interview them for like 10 minutes, then challenge them in their sport. So like I wrestled a wrestling guy. He pinned me in 7 seconds. We played against the volleyball team, the rowing team. Like we did everything, which was a lot of fun. And a lot of teammates told me, like, also at the time, you know this, everyone was saying like hockey's such an old man sport. There's no young personalities in the game. And before COVID, these weren't really a thing.
Yeah.
You know, like putting yourself out there, posting clips of your face and your takes wasn't that popular. And I had teammates that just said like, one of my teammates specifically, Matt Mendelson, who actually played at Penn State, he was like, you can't waste your personality. And I was like that was such a nice thing for him to say. And it sticks with me to this day. And, you know, every team I've been on, I feel like I've always just like gone out of my way to like make sure everyone feels like they're a part of it. And that's just kind of what I try to do in my media career, is just like get everyone, like, you know, it's being a fan's the best.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, you've been doing a great job of it. I mean,
you too.
Hey, crushing thank you. It. Thank you. I was excited to see, you know, you were a part of the content creator game that was around the Four Nations, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a part of all these different big NHL things now. Cool. Talk about those experiences.
Yeah. Those are weird. just because, you know, I'm like fans of them. Like I love their content, and I know that people aren't tuning in to watch me. like Swaggy P and Coach Chippy and all these, you know, Pavel Barber, like these guys do, Zach Bell, they do cool stuff like that I watch. So when I'm there, like we had a 5-man shootout and I just like volunteered to go last, 'cause I was like, you guys are way more popular and like way better at this stuff than I am, you know? So, it's really cool to be a part of it though. It's really cool. The NHL has like embraced that community too. And, you know, that's a way to like grow the game too, right? Like these people, like that I just mentioned, have huge social followings, and you know, kids now are more likely to recognize them than an NHL player, which is kind of crazy. But you know, it's good for the game, I think. And it's funny, Colby was like, you know, I actually played for Team USA, you're doing it for media. I was like, I earned it too, just in a different way, you know. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, when you look at some of the things that you've been able to do these last couple of years, I have to tell you, when I told some people here that I was having you as a guest, they're like, oh, that's the guy that does the skating videos for Bleacher Report. Yeah. So you're certainly known for that as well. But talk about how you've been able to interview some of the NHL's biggest stars and skate with them. Probably something you never thought you'd get to do.
Yeah, that is like if 13-year-old me saw, you know, 29-year-old me doing that, you couldn't believe it, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, like I think they could tell that I'm like still a little starstruck. Like I try to be cool and calm and like just treat them as a friend, but you also have to do like a little bit of like, I don't know if flirting is the right word, but you know what I mean?
Charming,
like break maybe? The ice. Yeah, yeah. Like you got, like, I always just try to say like, oh, I know this guy from here. I know you guys played together.
Yeah.
You know, I try to like have one degree of separation, I guess would be the way to phrase it. Just so they know that like they can feel comfortable around me, that I'm one of them essentially. And that's how I try to preface it to make it more fun for them. And I think that's why they're able to loosen up. Plus like those videos, because they're on their skates, like in their gear, it is their natural habitat.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like 10 mics in front of them. and they're in their suit or in their warm-up kitch, like they're on the ice. And that I think makes them almost feel more comfortable. You know, it's funny, like usually the guys don't like push around a puck or anything. I did one with Sid and he just like had a puck on a stick, just like pushing it. And I was like, it's so cool. He's just like doing that. Cause I think it made him more comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And then I did one with Jack Hughes actually. And Jack was just like stick handling the whole time. So Jack, like dialed in a little bit, you know, but he's the best. And all these guys, I mean, I did one with Racco, at Player Media Tour and he was hilarious. I don't even know if that one's dropped yet actually.
Oh
yeah. It'll probably drop a little bit sooner. I think sometimes they just get lost.
Sorry,
in the
Evan.
Shuffle. Yeah, yeah. They get lost in the shuffle. I don't know. Evan might be mad at me for saying that. But yeah, no, that has been a dream come true. Like, yeah. I still can't believe that I get to like skate a lap around the ice with NHL players. Just ask them silly questions.
One of the funniest things that I remember was you almost tripping and falling when you were at the Winter Classic this year doing that.
Yeah, with Pat.
Yep.
And I almost did it with Nate MacKinnon too.
Oh, really?
That got cut out because I actually did like kind of fall. He was like, I was going to say something, but, and like Nate MacKinnon too is like the most intimidating one.
So interesting.
Like falling in front of him, I would have been like, oh God, like he thinks I'm a loser. Yeah. But Pat, I know pretty well. So Pat was like, watch it. You know, he had a good laugh with it.
Yeah.
But that actually happens more often than you think that because I'm not like looking down. I'm just like, you know,
yeah. Have you done one with your buddy, Cale Makar?
No, I haven't. Which is interesting, but also Cale does so much TV.
Yeah.
So I usually get the guys who aren't doing TV that night. Cause it is all, you know, planned around NHL and TNT. So the guys who are usually on the headset, like they're not going to do this stuff with me cause they're already doing so much media. So I'll get like, you know, like I got Miko in Colorado, last year, and then Player Media Tour, whoever's there is doing it just because they're the ones representing their team. So that's how I got Nate and the big stars at Player Media Tour.
And you've gotten to travel quite a bit for all your multiple roles at this point. What do you like about the travel, getting to see all the different NHL cities?
Honestly, it's also hearing where the players like to go too. Like I was just talking to Frank and he was like, go to Joey's and where was it?
Newport.
I wrote it down on my phone. Yeah. This is why I wrote it down. Yeah. But that's what's cool too. Like, you go to these places that the players recommend. I mean, you know, their price range is much heftier than mine. So I said, Frank, pick a cheaper spot. But that like, you get a like glimpse of their life.
Right.
Kind of, which is cool. But also just like seeing all the NHL towns, like Montreal was never been there. Seeing Canada, Sweden that first night was like the coolest thing ever. I had chills going through my body and I'm not Canadian, you know, like that was super special. And taking in all the NHL atmospheres, I think is the coolest part. Like I'm excited. This is my first time here at the Honda Center. So I'm excited to see what it's like tonight.
Initial impressions?
It's beautiful. Everyone says it's like one of the older arenas in the league. I walk into the concourse, it looks like a country club. It's gorgeous. It is it not?
Yeah. No, the tile and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to come with all the renovations and OC Vibe that's happening. So next time you're here, it's probably going to look a lot different.
The locker room too, though. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like just the area the players walk through. Like, and that was honestly, I had heard it. I'd never seen it. Just listening to people behind us walking around in flip-flops and shorts when they leave the rink. Like who wouldn't want to play here?
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that because I'm on this show. Like I was genuinely thinking to myself, like, if I'm an NHL player, this is exactly where I'd want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something they always say. Oh, the weather's great. You can walk out and it's always sunny. It's not sunny here today, unfortunately for you, but you've got enough sun.
It got nice out.
Okay.
Got nice out. The morning was a little cloudy, but it got nice out.
That's what happens in California. We're talking about the game a little bit, but looking ahead to tonight, being here to see the Rangers, there's a couple of former Ducks on the Rangers as well. It's funny. There's former Rangers on the Ducks, former Ducks on the Rangers. When you look to this game tonight and just overall how the team's been doing right on the cusp of, you know, a wild card spot, you know, what's it been like covering the Rangers this year?
It's been like, I want to say fun, but also just a roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah.
Which is part of the fun though. But last year, comparing it to this year, last year, everything that could have went right. And the fans were just so positive and everything was just so great.
Mm-hmm.
Sunshines and rainbows. This year, even when something good happens, they're mad. It's like, why are we trying to win? We should be, you know, trying to get a better draft pick for next year with how the season's gone.
Yeah.
But that's also New York sports fans. But for me, it's been, you know, meeting all the new guys like JT Miller and Yurho and Susie and Tahan, I just met for the first time just now. Abby Krubel, I just met now. A lot of faces coming in, a lot of faces leaving, which is, you know, tough. It's part of the business. But this year has been just a crazy ride. And I don't think it's going to slow down because it seems like the Islanders, Montreal, and all these teams on the cusp don't want to really take grab of that second wild card spot either. So the Rangers are still right there in it, which makes it fun down to the very end.
Seeing Jacob Trouba again this morning, you had the chance to chat with mm-hmm. him. What was that whole situation like, just from someone that was in New York during it?
Yeah. Honestly, I was a Trouba defender. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason there was chatter about him was because he was making $8 million mm-hmm. and was playing, you know, third pair minutes for the most part. I thought if he was making $4 million, half of his money wouldn't be a conversation. It's just how it works mm-hmm. when you're a fan. When people make the bigger contract, they get more criticism. I mean, we're seeing it right now with Igor Shesterkin, and he's not even making that 11.5 yet. You know, mm-hmm. that kicks in next year. But you could just tell talking to Jacob this morning that he's already just so much more relaxed. Right. And I can't blame him. This summer, there was so much talk, not only about him, but about his family, too. And,
yeah,
you know, people say, or players say, you can't let what the media says creep in. But how could you not let that affect you a little bit? Right. Mm-hmm. But that's, I also get that, you know, reporters have a job to do. And if they hear a story that has some truth to it, you have to put it out there. So there's two parts of it that I think if both parties were to go back and look at how everything went down, I'm sure they both want to change it. Although Jacob Trouba has said multiple times he has no regrets with his decision to pick his family over whatever the other option is. And I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. You know, if my wife and kid are in a city, that's where I'd want to be too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to see that he's found a place of home here and a place of comfort here. And he seems very happy. And, you know, I think the Rangers have moved on from him too and have, you know, started a new chapter. So they're happy from that, getting rid of his contract. And I think, you know, hopefully both parties can move on and find some positivity going forward.
Wearing shorts and flip-flops out of the rink nowadays.
Can't beat that, right?
A little different than New York. Johnny, when you look at the NHL as a whole right now, it's kind of been an interesting season as we're getting towards the playoffs. Obviously, a lot of chatter with the trade deadline and having the Four Nations a bit different. But overall, you know, when you look ahead to this playoffs, what are you looking forward to?
So, okay, I was having this conversation with the Empty Netter guys the other day.
Okay.
And everyone talks about the playoff format, right? And how we want to go back to 1-8. We want to change it, all that kind of stuff, because we're seeing the same matchups over and over. But I think it was Chris who said it, which got my mind like thinking differently. The first round of the playoffs is going to be so exciting.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It sucks that like Dallas and Colorado is probably that matchup, right? Like mm-hmm. one of them will have to be out of the playoffs after that round happens. But for those 2 weeks, it's going to be sick,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think every single playoff matchup that we have right now will be a dogfight. And what more can you ask for as a hockey fan where you're watching four games every night and all four are wildly entertaining?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'm looking forward to. Obviously, you know, there are different storylines too, like Edmonton right now. We don't know what's going to happen with them in the playoffs, but Connor McDavid, if they get a first round exit, like the conversation about his extension will start to kick in. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we have the best player in the world. If he doesn't extend with the Oilers, there's your conversation for the next year, right? Mm-hmm. So where's he going to go? Where's he going to end up? It's like the LeBron and Miami, you know, but that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
it's kind of what it is. You know, obviously other things come to mind too. I think Ovechkin, you know,
the story of this, right? This season right now, what, six goals away,
I believe. Yeah. And the funniest thing, I was saying this with them too, like imagine he like ties the record in the last game of the season and scores like the first goal of the playoffs. And it's like, oh, like, It's not the record breaking goal, but it's like, oh my, you know what I mean? It's like such a tease, because everyone's talking about like, oh, should he break it next year and they could have a whole summer of promotion, or would it be better if he breaks it now and goes into the playoff? I think it'd be better if he does it now. I think it's more impressive,
obviously. I agree.
But yeah, there's some, what's your favorite storyline going into the playoffs?
I think the Dallas Colorado potential matchup. I mean, how can you not be excited for that?
Who are you rooting for?
I'm going to go safe here and pick Dallas because they're a Victory Plus partner, our TV partner.
Okay. Yep. Nice.
And I mean, they've been so close. They were my pick. I mean, what, last year? Mm-hmm. I believe they were my pick last year. So they're getting close. I mean, they have Rantanen now.
Yeah. Who was your pick this year outside of the Ducks?
I don't know yet. I didn't make a pick.
Oh, you mean
actually,
like for the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant like preseason.
No. Yeah. I haven't decided yet as we get closer to the playoffs. I feel like I'm trying to figure out the rest of the Ducks season.
Fair enough.
Which, by the way, this is going to be the first time you see the all orange kits for the Ducks tonight.
Yes.
What do you think about the new logo since you're sitting here?
The logo I love. The color,
it could grow on
it's
you.
It's a little loud. It's a little loud.
It is loud.
But the whites, I saw the whites at MSG. Those were nice. Mm-hmm. I like the whites. The orange, I guess I'll see it tonight for the first time, like really in a game. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll grow on me. But like, how could you, the classic, like purple and what do we call the, like the bluish color?
It's jade.
Jade.
Yep. Like, it's just sitting behind you in the Paul Kariya.
I mean, this is the best jersey ever. It is.
Yeah.
I wish they could bring this back fully. But I know people love the orange.
It's a mix of Orange County, the new, the old. It's a little bit of both. So, yeah. And, you know, this season, it's been interesting to watch all of our young players. We were chatting during morning skate. I mean, there were some faces on the ice. You're like, I don't even recognize some of these people because obviously East Coast coverage, West Coast, it is different. And sometimes people don't really realize that how it's tough to, you know, cover the West Coast when you're 3 hours ahead sometimes. So just talking about, you know, being able to catch up on those teams.
Yeah. And I will say too about the uniforms in one of the skating videos I did with Quinn Hughes, I'm pretty sure he said they were like one of his favorites, the orange, the new orange.
So interesting.
His opinion matters way more than mine.
Your opinion matters.
But the West Coast stuff. Yeah. Like I'm up at 7:15 AM Eastern time to like start prepping for our morning show at 9 AM. Like we're on the computer by like 8:15 kind of, you know, talking about what we're going to talk about for that morning. Mm-hmm. So I do try to stay up, you know, late at night. Like the last actual full Ducks game I watched was when the Islanders were here not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So that was like, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yep.
That was probably the last like full Ducks game I watched. But I'll tune in to like LA Edmonton and just kind of click around. Mm-hmm. That's the hard part, is I'm not like watching just one game. Mm-hmm. Because we do have to talk about, you know, basically every team. And the listeners are quick to call us out when we don't know what we're talking about. So it does get challenging at times. But I am excited to watch this Ducks team. I mean, when it comes to younger talent and a bright future, I don't know if there's a better organization than this one right now, as far as like that 3 to 5 year window on what they could be, you know, in the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like you look at Cutter Gauthier, who actually was my pick to win the Rookie of the Year. I thought he'd score 30 goals as a freshman. Got to watch him a lot at BC the last 2 years. And I thought this kid's shot was unbelievable. And, you know, I know people say, you know, scoring on college goalies is different than NHL goalies, but I think he scores on any goalie he shoots on with the way he shoots the puck. So he was a guy I was excited to watch. You know, Frankie, obviously I watch a lot. These younger guys in the back end too. Hellison's a BC kid. Zellweger can fly.
Yeah.
He's a great skater.
He's all over the ice.
He was unbelievable in that game against the Islanders. He was flying that night. Mm-hmm. Who else am I missing? I mean, I met, you know, it's funny actually, at the championship game for Four Nations, I met a lot of the Ducks because they were at the game, just like walking around the concourse.
Yeah. Yeah. We were there. Yeah. We got in that day for the road trip and they were all excited to go.
Yeah. I got to meet Trevor. We were in line for the bathroom together. We had a lot of laughs. You know, mutual friends in common. He's a New Yorker as well. So I got to meet him and talk to him. He actually gave me a nice hello when I was here this morning, which was cool.
Good.
But yeah, this team, the personalities, and honestly, what you guys do here, you showcase their personalities every day. Like that's huge too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love having the players come in the studio, just talking off the ice. It's so fun to get to know them outside of hockey too.
How could I not mention Leo, by the way? I should have definitely mentioned Leo. I covered the draft.
Well, now you are.
Yeah,
it's
I covered
okay.
the draft that he was in. Like, I don't know why I didn't mention Leo. He's the nicest kid in the world.
He is.
And I actually like caught him when the Ducks were in New York last year. I like watched Leo walk out of the tunnel and like actually look up at the ceiling at MSG. And I was like, I just watched him take it in for the first time. Aww. And that was super cool because he was just like, you know, what, 18, 19?
Yeah.
At MSG for the first time. That was pretty cool.
I still haven't been. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. I got to get there and I will let you know when I do eventually.
Yeah, you must. Was it also Leo that did, or was it Trevor that did like they're like riding around in a car? Like around the rink or something.
Oh, the little that was Trevor.
That was Trevor.
Yeah, that was Trevor's little four wheel thing. Yeah,
that
was during our media day last year. No, it had to be this year. I don't know. It's all running together at this point. Yeah. You know, when it's this late in the season, it feels like that was an eternity ago.
Is this your third year?
This is my third year. Yeah. This is our third year of Duckstream too. So
I'm surprised every team in the NHL doesn't have this yet.
They're working on it. You know, it's been a lot of fun for us to grow and certainly more to come as well. But for you going into the playoffs, I wanted to ask too, with your coverage, are you going to be traveling? Do you know what that looks like yet? Anything coming up?
I'm not sure yet. Okay. The discussions haven't necessarily started yet. Cause if the Rangers do get in, then I'll probably be following them. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get in, then I I actually do have a bet with the Locked On Senators guys. They're great. Love them. Ross said I could stay on his pullout couch if the Sens make the playoffs and go to a playoff game with them.
Okay.
Which would be cool. So that's the one thing I have kind of on the calendar since the Sens are probably going to get in. He has a white Albertson jersey he's going to let me borrow. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's the only plan I have so far. Everything else is up in the air.
Well, we still have a little bit of time between now and then. Yeah. Number of weeks. But one thing I also was thinking about, we kind of glossed over it, but your relationship with Cale Makar and UMass college hockey, what a win for them last night. I don't want to talk about my team at all, but we could talk about the college hockey playoffs because there's, you know, there's a lot of at least Ducks in our locker room that are college hockey grads or, you know, played college hockey. How have you seen college hockey grow and the importance of that for, you know, growth for these players?
Yeah, well, I mean, just for starters, like I go back to Charlie McAvoy, I think, you know, stepping into the playoffs, his first game partnered with Daniel Chara. Then, you know, I think the following year, 2 years later is when Cale stepped in and scored in his first playoff game. And we're seeing, it's mostly defensemen right now for whatever reason, but the top defensemen in the NHL are all coming out of college. And I think that's what has made college hockey grow just a little bit now, because, you know, if you're a kid growing up in Vancouver and your favorite player is Quinn Hughes, oh, well, where did Quinn Hughes get drafted into the NHL from? University of Michigan. And that like makes you start to wonder, start to ask questions and start to want to watch those games. And the coverage of college hockey, I think, has gotten better too, which is obviously huge. The personalities have been showcasing themselves a little bit more last year with Cutter, that whole thing. I'm not gonna get into that, but like, but that puts eyes on college hockey, right? Like there were people at BC games after that just like either chirping or wanting to watch Cutter. You know, I think stuff like that, just, I've said this a lot, honestly, and we talk about growing the popularity of the sport, and I think it all starts with college hockey, because you talk about football and basketball, and, you know, my friends are all big football and basketball fans, and I'm watching the NFL draft, and they know the fifth round pick that's an offensive lineman to the Jets. I'm like, how do you know who this guy is? And it's just college football is so popular.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we could put more eyes on college hockey, and now that the CHL and college hockey are merging a little bit, I think that the fact that you can have like a second round pick out of Boston University and people know who he already is, you know, that's huge. Like I look at Lane Hutson and Cole Hutson, both second round picks, and they're huge names already. Well, Cole, you know, obviously having a great year at BU, but Lane's going to be the rookie of the year, I think, now. He should be, at least with how he's playing. And I think, you know, if you look at that and say, man, like these kids are both coming out of BU, not even first round picks, but they're taking over. Like who wouldn't want to watch them before they get here? Right. I think that's cool. And, yeah, I kind of rambled on there. I didn't talk about like my own Cale and stuff, but
it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think college hockey is the best. And, you know, the tournament yesterday, the first day of the tournament, there was two upsets, overtimes.
Yep.
You know, you had everything you could have wanted as a hockey fan.
NIL playing a role in it too nowadays. The portal, so many changes since, I mean, when you were a player too.
Yeah. So when I transferred my sophomore year, I had to sit out for a full year, which does not exist anymore, which, you know, I would have killed for. That was the worst year of my life. But NIL right now, what it's doing too is, you know, there are so many guys who feel like they have to leave to sign that pro contract because it might not come knocking again, but they're doing that also so they can get money. But now if you're paying the players in college, there's more incentive for them to stay in college, which in turn makes college hockey a better overall product. So if you have a guy like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. Like let's say Gabe Perreault, right? Gabe Perreault is a great freshman year at BC. Him and Ryan Leonard both decide to stay at Boston College instead of turning pro. And they probably both could have. Like that is great for college hockey. And now BC is the number one team again in the country looking to win a national championship. And, you know, I don't know if they're staying, if they're not making any money with NIL, you know, right? They're probably more inclined to sign a pro contract, but because they can stay and make however much money a semester, you know, that sets them up a little bit and makes them feel like they have more room for comfort and they can actually enjoy the college process as opposed to like feeling all that pressure.
BC's your pick, isn't it?
I mean, it should be everyone's. They're far and away the best team in the country. I mean, they're so good. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
But anyone who's watched them play this year, how could you? They have everything. And Jacob Fowler is a guy who gets, you know, so far under the radar just because of the talent they have up front and on their back end. But Fowler's going to be an NHL goalie in the next 2-3 years.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. I am going to watch it despite yesterday. Yeah. You know,
at least it's a good story though. Like Coach Schaefer, you know, his last year.
Yes. Yes.
If you could lose to one team, I feel like that's a team you can like, you know what? Good for them.
Yeah. Cornell. Yeah. I guess we're rooting for them a little bit, but well, Johnny, this has been so fun having you in the Paul Kariya studio. Mm-hmm. Great to catch up with you. Best of luck the rest of the season and everything else you got going on.
Well, I have one question for you before I go.
Okay.
Just because I like sitting in the seat that you're sitting in.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know if you get asked about yourself a lot because you're always interviewing everybody else.
Yeah.
So I want to know your favorite moment over the last 3 years.
Ooh, favorite moment over the last 3 years. That's a great question. Oh, you're really putting me on the spot. There's been so many great moments. I feel like since I've gotten to be here with the Ducks, just growing every single year. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably going between the benches.
Yeah.
On the Duck Stream broadcast, because it's such a unique, I mean, it's a unique position that a small amount of people get to ever experience.
You're in the game.
And you really are in the game. And, you know, after what we saw this year, you can get hit in the face by a puck. Yeah. Thankfully that didn't happen to me, but, that was truly, you're right. Knock on the wood of the table. I think that one was really special, but there's just been so many moments too, where, you know, the big moment interviewing Cutter last year, having Gary Bettman sit in the chair that you're sitting in, you know, when he joined us in here.
Even when Jacob got traded here, everyone was, this is the first thing we were all listening to.
I was sitting in your chair. Yeah. For that interview as well. I think it's been all these big, the drafts have been so fun, being there for Leo's draft, Beckett, the shock of that last summer at the Sphere. I'm rambling on about all these different moments, but truly there's just been so many moments.
I might have one more question if that's allowed.
Okay.
I know it's your show.
It's not allowed. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Has there been one person who recognized you where you were like, I can't believe they know who I am?
I mean, it has happened. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was though, but it was at the Nashville draft and I can't remember who it was, but they came up to me and talked to me. Yeah. Yeah. It's one thing about hockey is just, it's such a small circle and people, when you're in it, you start to learn that more, but it's really special. And then like even you texting me about Elliot Friedman, you know,
that was a highlight for me. And it wasn't even about me.
Yeah. That was really awesome having him on recently and the kind words that he had to say. But yeah, I feel like it has happened and I think it's going to happen probably more for you and maybe for me as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on here. It was a blast. Oh, awesome. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. So it's cool that we did it.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.